So good morning. Good morning. So we're going to begin our EMP for today, May 19th. So actually, let's start from Matthew 1. So we're going to read sections between Matthew 1 and Matthew 3. Actually, maybe just up to Matthew 2. Let's start with from Matthew 1 to verse 18. So chapter Matthew 1 to verse from verse 18. Matthew 1 verse 18. Matthew chapter 1. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So this is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. And we're going to keep on reading Matthew chapter 2. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose, and we have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said, "take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity, who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. "A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping in great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more." After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who were trying to take the child's life are dead." So he got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee, and he went and lived in a town called Nazareth. So was fulfilled what was said through the prophets, that he would be called a Nazarene. Father, we thank you for this morning. I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity that we can come together and just read your word together and just allow your word to speak to us. So Holy Spirit, we come, we invite you. Please open up our hearts and our minds. And we humbly come before you. We don't want this just to be intellectually stimulating or just kind of tickle our ears, Lord. But I pray that you would really touch our hearts, speak to us. So we thank you and we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So good morning, guys. And, this is just coming out of my own devotional time. Initially, I wanted to talk about something, and then I realized it's just such a big thing. There was no way I could digest it, so I gave up on it. I was trying to prepare something this morning, and I realized, oh my goodness, I can't deal with this right now. But then God gave me another message on the way. So praise God. In the taxi, I got something else. This is out of my own quiet time. And, just wanted to encourage you. We have a 1.5-year-old baby, and since that happened, I realized my wife and I, it's been very difficult to spend time together. And so one thing I decided, you know what we should do? We should do our quiet time together. So we have this book, and we decided, so I'll have my own quiet time, but that we should really kind of go through a quiet time together as a couple. So we put the kid to bed at night, and we try to spend some time before we go to sleep doing that. And it's really been encouraging, and God's really blessed that time. So this came out of one of those times. We try to do it daily. I just want to encourage you guys, if you haven't done it with your wife, or it's just really good. So anyway, so as I was reading this chapters with my wife, one thing kind of struck to me was a few things. But first, do you realize in Matthew 2 that, so the Magi came, you guys all know this history, right? And actually every Christmas, if you grew up in church or whatever, you saw something on TV, we've heard this story so many times. It's like almost we've heard it so many times that we don't dig into the details as much maybe. But I'm coming from that. But a few things stuck to me. Number one was, here are the Jewish leaders and the Jewish people who have been waiting for their Messiah for literally centuries. And it says in the beginning of chapter 2, these Magi came following the star, and they came to Jerusalem. And they started asking around, we saw this supernatural sign. We saw this star. And by the way, we're not from around here, but somehow we were so compelled by something that we took up from where we are. Maybe people say it's, obviously it was to the east, so people think maybe it was Persia, maybe even around where the Indian subcontinent, we don't really know. It doesn't say the Bible. Maybe even from China, but unlikely, I don't know. But I think scholars tell me it's not that. But they kind of talk. So it's far. And they hazarded this difficult, right? It's not like just getting in the MTR and 30 minutes later I'm in Jerusalem, right? This was a hard journey through camels and horses and maybe through some mountain passes and difficult. And you could easily get robbed. It was not an easy trip, but somehow these foreigners were compelled by something in the stars, something supernatural, that they came to Jerusalem and said, who is this king of the Jews? Where even the constellations seem to be telling us something. It's crazy. What's going on? So they came to Jerusalem. And we know that people heard about it in Jerusalem, right? Because it says all in verse 3, when King Herod heard this, that the Magi had come, these foreigners, who probably looked very weird and looked different, dress was different, and they said, we've come for the king of the Jews. And, it was like, how do you even know there's a king of the Jews? What are you talking about, right? Herod must have been. And it says, King Herod was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. So we know all Jerusalem heard this. They heard it. They heard there's something about some random foreigners have come, and they don't look like poor, crazy people. They come with these, I guess they have treasure, and probably they had a retinue or something. Probably wasn't just three of them, right? They came with servants, or somebody was carrying the treasure, right? And stuff like that. So it was just not normal. And what happens? So Herod, he says, he asked the priests and the teachers. So the chief priests and the teachers knew this was going on, definitely. Not only does the Bible say that all Jerusalem was disturbed and knew about it, but the chiefs, priests, and the teachers were asked by Herod, what is this? And they knew because they read the word. And they knew the prophecies. Oh, yeah, it's going to be in Bethlehem. That's what the Bible says. And we believe in, this is their Bible, right? The Old Testament at the time. That's all they had, right? The word says this. We believe this is the word. So it must be in Bethlehem and Judea. That's where the new Messiah will come from. Okay, guess what? Verse 7 onwards. Then Herod called the Magi secretly, found out from them the exact time the star had appeared, and he sent them to Bethlehem. Go and search carefully for the child, so that I may too go and worship him. I guess what struck me was, nowhere does it say here, then the chief priests and the teachers of the law, who had heard that these random strangers who came from abroad and who found these constellations and supernatural stars, also went with the Magi to see if this prophecy that they had been waiting for centuries and centuries was true. They didn't. I mean, right? They knew the word. They knew it must be in Bethlehem. I mean, I don't know. Maybe at the time where they're like every 2 weeks, some random strangers carrying a lot of treasure and camels and horses came into town and said, hey, we found there's this king of the Jews and we saw some supernatural stars, so show us, right? Was that the case? I don't think so. I mean, was it that maybe if somebody had told you, I mean, let's take a step back. If somebody had told you that, you know what, I'm your dad's lawyer and you didn't know this, but your dad, actually, before he passed away, bought $100 million worth of Bitcoin 10 years ago. I always use these finance examples. But like 10 years ago, he bought $100 million worth of Bitcoin when it was trading at 2 cents, I guess. By the way, it's probably like $8,000 now. PSAM always talks about Bitcoin, so I thought I'd use that. In case you're listening, PSAM. But if somebody had told you this and said, yeah, by the way, you just need to, you know, go here. You just need to go to this Swiss bank account. Just go. It's not even you have to get on a plane. It's not even a Swiss bank account. Maybe it's like maybe a 1 day's travel from where you are by horse or something. If somebody had told you that, would you be like, I'm going to go and see if this is true. I'm going to take my ID. I'm going to take my passport, and I'm going to go to that bank and see if this is true, what this lawyer told me. I don't think most of us, we wouldn't say, I'm just going to, okay, yeah, I probably don't believe that. If there's even some chance that it's true, wouldn't we have responded? I think with money, we would have responded. I think a lot of times, maybe if somebody were to say, God is at XYZ, and if you were to go to XYZ, you can encounter God. Wow. If there is even some chance, would you go? I'm going to let it sink there for a bit. Would you go? I think, okay, so we know that these Jewish teachers of the law and priests, and I'm just reading the text. For whatever reason, they didn't go. But let's bring it to us now, right? So one of the reasons I'm felt led to share this, and I need to kind of confess to you guys too, was, I mean, there was some conference recently. I don't even want to say who the conference was or anything like that, because I'm not sure that's so important. But there was this conference in Hong Kong recently that Pastor Sam told us about, and he gave us, I think all the house churches, I certainly let my house church know, and he gave us free tickets. It was free, actually. And he said, hey, supposedly there's this conference, and during this conference, there's like miracles sometimes happen. And so I signed up, but honestly, the day before, like, you know, it's just been, the markets have been up and down, and then there were some personal things I needed to deal with. So this conference was like maybe last week. Yeah, it was last week. And it was the first night was Friday. And I was so physically and spiritually and soul drained. Honestly, I don't know if it's like spiritual attack or just distraction or trying to, but I was so drained during the day. And I'm also leading a mission trip for the first time. And maybe it's because of that, or there was just so much admin stuff to take care of. I mean, I had never used Airbnb before and all this stuff. And I was just so drained with work and everything, ministry. And I almost thought, you know what? I'm so tired. Even if I go, I probably can't focus on this. So I was half inclined not to go on the Friday night service. And then, I don't know, I just felt really convicted that I should go. So, and by the way, I have a 1.5-year-old kid and we don't use a helper full time. So we would need to take the kid with us. So, but I just felt convicted. So I want to let you know, I almost didn't go either. But I went. And it must have been something spiritual, or maybe it was just something, but something was when I went. And again, God is everywhere. God doesn't only follow this gentleman or whatever, whatever. But God is, that does come where people are hungry. And this conference, I guess it was thousands of people. It was at the Exchange. I'm sorry, what is that? The Exhibition Center, Convention Center. And I think maybe a third of it was mainland Christians. Two-thirds was mainland Chinese Christians. And you could tell because, well, number one, you know, obviously fashion is different everywhere you go. But also, well, yeah, but also because in between the sessions, they didn't have anywhere to go. I mean, they probably didn't have as much money as we do. So they had packed these, like, rice balls, or they had packed, like, apples. And so they weren't able to go to a chanchanteng to have lunch or meal, I think, because maybe it was too expensive. But I noticed that after the sessions, in between the sessions, they all, like, would stand outside or sit outside on the carpet. They couldn't even go to a cafe. And they were just taking out, like, apples or, like, pre-packed lunches with a lot of rice and stuff. And that's what they were eating. And some of these people, I think they came with families, and they also brought, like, literally newborn kids. Like, I could tell because the gentleman in front of me was, like, his mother, him and his wife, and their, like, newborn child who was younger than my 1.5-year-old. And, you know, it was, like, diapers all over the place because there wasn't a lot of places to go change diapers, and they were like, they had hot milk, hot water to take out of their thermos so they could mix the milk for the baby, the formula. But they didn't want to, I think, leave the area. They didn't want to miss anything. So they were just there. And I guess on the taxi ride over, I was very contrasting my attitude with their attitude. And I think whenever I read this scripture, I consider that, I think I put myself in the Joseph and Mary camp, which we're going to talk about. I put myself in the, wow, those teachers of the law and Pharisees and chief priests, man, didn't they know this was Jesus? And, but hey, I was, you know, I need to repent in my own heart. Because I was very close to not going. And I just want to let that sink in. There's no guilt or anything, but we do want, but the Holy Spirit, I think, wants us to be humble. I think the Holy Spirit wants to bring conviction. Now, I'm not saying, you know, it's between, and it's also, by the way, it's totally not my place to judge or anything like that. But it's between, always between you and the Holy Spirit, right? So, and I want to say, I also did miss out because I went on Saturday. And then, but again, I was so tired and my baby was acting up. So around like 6, 7 p.m., so the thing was, on Friday all day, and then Friday night, and then Saturday all day until Saturday night. And I had experienced so much of God's presence, even like when I went in and during the Friday night session, I felt a lot of, I don't know, it was like, I guess I was under, it was spiritual heaviness, or I don't know what it was. But by the end of it, even though I should have been more tired physically, I felt rejuvenated physically. And I also felt rejuvenated spiritually. And those, I guess even, I didn't even know I was worrying about things, but those things had lifted off of me. And so I was praising God, and I told my wife, isn't this awesome? And my wife got to really experience God. It was great. But then come Saturday, it was during the day, we had been there all day. And honestly, this is my bad, because my wife was ready to stay. But come about 7:30 p.m., 8 p.m., I got very tired, and I had been holding the baby, and the baby was fudgeting and stuff like that. And I just said, you know what, I think maybe we can go. And so we left at 8. And then we went home, and I saw the Facebook streaming live. We went home, and we turned that on. We put the baby to bed, because the baby hadn't really slept for 2 days, right? Well, so, and then we were Facebook streaming, and I think it must have been the last 10 minutes. Look, I mean, you don't have to be like cloud chasers, and you don't have to chase these things only because, like, I'm not saying there's something special only with this person, and there's not something only special that at that place that only that happened. But I guess in a certain sense, I am saying that at a place where people are hungry, there is more of God. But so in the last 10 minutes, what this gentleman did, who was the lead conference speaker, he kept on saying, Holy Spirit wants to come. There's something. But there's not enough hunger. There's need to be more crying out. Pray in your tongues. Pray in your language. Pray whatever. And, you know, throughout the whole weekend, it had been like sequence of a lot of repenting, a lot of, I guess there had been teaching. And on Saturday, I was teaching about need to repent, about religious mindset, stuff like that. But then towards the end, he said, people, especially young people, come up, receive prayer. You know, God, Holy Spirit wants to come. And it was like waves of people. I mean, it wasn't like us where you open up the altar and maybe five people come up. People were running. They were running to, and sorry to say, I wasn't part of that group, by the way. I need to repent for that. I'm being all serious, by the way. Maybe I need to repent. I probably do need to repent for maybe something of a lack of hunger or desperation for God. But these people were racing up as waves. And I could only see this part in Facebook Live. And right now I would like so wish I would have stayed another hour and a half to see this in person. But he would say, three, two, one, Holy Spirit is coming. And literally, I personally have never seen this. And people who know me, you know, I'm a pretty rational guy. I'm not going to try to exaggerate. Literally, the first, I would say, 3 to 5 rows of the people who were there, it was like the Red Sea. He just said, 3, 2, 1, Holy Spirit's coming. And then it was like boom. It was like boom. It was like, what in the world? And then he said the people who were slain and, you know, whatever, who had, you know, there was something that they were especially manifesting, bring them up. He asked his team members. And this gentleman, he's so desperate and passionate about it. He's like, what are you waiting for? Bring them up. Bring them. He was yelling at his, not yelling, but it was like, firm with this pastor, saying, bring them up now. And they would. And as he did, he would be like, something like, phew. And these people were kind of, I mean, I was really, again, I was trying to be forensic about it. I was trying to say, no one's pushing anyone, right? It was, I could see definitely cases where no one was pushing or really nothing. And they like jumped back. These people, as they were being brought up to the stage, and then this gentleman was saying, receive Holy Spirit and more. And then they got thrown back. And I guess what I'm trying to tell you is I had never seen that. But my wife also had never seen that. And my wife she's been Christian longer than me, but she comes from more of a traditional background, right? I think this was the first time she had seen something like that, and she was like, wow, what is this? Definitely not something supernatural. And I'm sorry, it is something supernatural. It is something, slightly different, weird, but also doesn't seem like there's any fake here. I mean, I think I have the faculties that I could tell you something is fake or not fake. I could tell. Like, if somebody was touching them, then I could kind of surmise they might have pushed them back. But if no one's touching them, why are they jumping back? And these are all mainland Chinese, and this guy doesn't even speak any Chinese, you can clearly tell. It wasn't like, if it was like a small Texas, or not Texas, somewhere in like the United States church, small gathering, maybe I could imagine they could have placed some people in the audience to jump back or stuff like that. But with all of them, with all these mainland Chinese, you could tell that they were, you know, they can't even communicate. So that was sort of the experience. And I guess I'm just trying to bring it back to this. That was sort of the experience. And I hope many of us from SP attended. I actually didn't see that many. You know, it was a big group, but I saw a few, but I could tell if the people around me were a litmus test or like a little survey, small sample of who from SP went. I mean, I'm just being honest. I just don't think many of us went. And again, I barely went. And even when I did win, I left early, and so I missed this, and I only got a chance to see this on Facebook Live. Can you imagine if on Friday night I went so tired and exhausted, and that just something I experienced God and all that stuff lifted off of me? Can you imagine if I had stayed until Saturday when more of the Holy Spirit was manifesting like that, what that would have been like? I won't know because I didn't stay. So, yeah. So I guess, you know, the question is, are we really hungry for God? Again, strictly between you and God. Jesus, Holy Spirit, strictly between you. Really, it is. It's not just me. But if whatever I'm saying resonates with you, you know, to people who are listening through the online or whoever, if it's resonating with you, then please, it's not me, it's God. We criticize these chief priests and teachers of the law whenever we read the Gospels. But I wonder if we might not have been the same. Can I be really honest? I'm more on the expression. I really don't think I have an issue with dancing around and worshiping dancing. I really don't. And I love Noah's family, you know, the family worship we do with Noah's Ark. But I'm just more of a guy, I like to sit down and I want to really connect with Jesus. So during worship, a lot of times I really just sit down and connect with him. I actually think there's nothing wrong with that. And I don't think people need to get up and necessarily dance around and anything like that. I'm just trying to share where I'm coming from. So this gentleman, he's a little bit more flamboyant. He's a little bit, that's the only way I could explain it. He was. And the whole thing was very more flamboyant. And so can I just say, one of the reasons I kind of wasn't sure I even wanted to go was it just felt a bit too flamboyant for me. Like, he has a horn section. Some people might love it, but that's fine. I loved it too, but I'm just saying it's just not my cup of tea. Do you see what I mean? My cup of tea is more like, I want to just sit, connect with the Holy Spirit. I'm more of an instrumental music guy. You guys know, right? I ask Ernie, who, you know, he so regularly comes and volunteers for us. I ask him, can you just play instrumental and not a song? That's just who I am, okay? That's where I'm coming from. So I, when I see this gentleman and he's so flamboyant, I kind of like, in my own flesh, I was like, oh, that's not really for me. I probably don't need to go. I'm just being honest, okay? I'm really trying to tell you I'm no better. Are there things that we need to kind of lay down? Preconceptions or anything? Like, we think God should show up this way. God should be like this. Or, you know, because there's another... So, number one, yeah. So, are we really hungry? This is such a serious question. And, again, it's between you and God. It doesn't mean... I mean, so, me personally, I think it doesn't mean if you can't... It just, in your way that you connect. Maybe, you know, you can come to EMP, you cannot come to EMP, whatever. It's between you and God, but I just want to say, somehow, are you chasing after him? Are you seeking him? Do you really realize that being with Jesus completes us to take something from Jerry Maguire, right? If you don't know the movie, that's okay. But seriously, see, everybody here this morning is old enough to know that movie, but there are many who don't. But seriously, like, remember when P. Ricky and P. Sam, he taught about true treasure, treasures in heaven? And afterwards, I could tell from the questions I was getting in my house church and even other people, it didn't really fully sink in. Because some of the questions that people were asking were, oh, wait a second, I don't understand. So this true treasure, what do you mean? Like, we get different houses or we get different, like, ranks or something? That can't be right, right? No, but I'm just trying to tell you, but I think we still have this, we see heaven, and we see God, and we see our relationship with him, still with this perspective of, we actually still have this, number one, self-centered perspective, but we also really have this, we're seeing heaven and our relationship with him from an earthly perspective. We are still thinking, if I do this for God, then I'm going to get something from him. Because that is the seed of these questions. Oh, what is this true treasure you're talking about? You mean later I'm going to get a house? Oh, God will bless me financially if I do this? I mean, it is his heart to bless you financially, but that's kind of saying, like, if you are a member of the, I don't know, like the Marco Polo Club, then you get to get a stamp that says you are a member of the Marco Polo Club. Like, that among the... Sorry, I just came back from Tokyo, so I was just on the Marco Polo. So that's the only thing I could immediately think of. If you think the benefit of being in some Marco Polo, whatever, some freaking flyer mile club, the best thing you can get is like a little stamp that says, I am a member of this frequent flyer club, you've missed the whole point. Yes, of course, God is a good father. He wants to give us good gifts. But if you think that financial blessing is like gift number one or gift number two or gift number three or whatever, the benefit of being a Christian, you've lost the whole plot. You have absolutely lost the whole plot. The benefit of being a Christian is that we have a reconnected relation, our relationship with Jesus, with God the Father through the blood of Jesus Christ has been reestablished. And now the Holy Spirit, the deposit of our salvation, the very thing that made Jesus able to connect with God, all that Holy Spirit is now present in us, alive. That is the benefit. And all the other stuff that comes, whether financial blessing, because he can trust you as a steward, all that stuff is, as Paul would say, literally shit. I mean, by the way, in the Greek, the word he used was literally, it wasn't like a nice word like excrement. It wasn't like a nice word like night soil or I don't know what you call dung, like dung. It wasn't a nice word like that. He actually used a very colloquial word, like shit. He thought all those other benefits All those other things of the world that he might have had was shit compared to knowing Christ and being in relationship with him. So I'm kind of going all over, but you know, I feel, you know, hopefully God is going to do something with it. Are you hungry? Really, are you hungry? And you're not hungry for the gifts. Because we really need to wake up, guys. I need to wake up. I'm preaching to myself right now. So when Peace Sam was teaching about true treasure and Ricky was sharing about it, you know, as it says in Matthew 13:44, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Yeah? So think about it. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in the field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. See? If you find a treasure in somebody's field, it's not your treasure until you own the field. So this is trying to say, if you found this treasure in this field, that's your number one priority. That's like your Bitcoin with $1 billion in it. So you sell everything you can, because that's actually only what it's going to cost you, maybe like, I don't know, $100,000 to buy that field. But what's in that field is $1 billion. So that's what this is saying. But we as Christians, I think a lot of times we think the treasure, even me, until I really think about it, we really don't understand. The treasure is like on Friday night, or sometimes I come up to this altar and I've been so touched by the presence of God. It's available here in Solomon's Porch. You don't have to go to Exhibition Center when this gentleman only comes. Although I would say again, you know, I'm really trying to say there was something there and something God was responding to, the hunger of his people. But even here, I've shared this before. I just came because I felt like I should humble myself, and I came up to the altar 2 times this year. I came up to this altar. There was nothing in particular that I thought I needed to do, but there was nothing like in the message that I was in particular trying to respond to, but I just felt like Holy Spirit saying, go up. So I did. And I was just like, okay, God, I'm up here. Okay, I'm here. Lord, yeah, thank you. Yeah, we love you. And then something started happening. And I just started, like I shared before, right? This warmth in my stomach. This was the second time. This warmth in the stomach. And then I was like, what is this? I've never felt this. Wow, this is so weird. I mean, I felt God before, but in this warmth in the stomach way, it was just so random. I'm just sitting there. Like 2 seconds ago, nothing was different. And then suddenly this warmth in the stomach thing. And then I started kind of tearing up. Why am I getting emotional? And then there was this joy. I can't really explain it because I haven't written it out and I'm not a wordsmith, but there was this joy. And there was this, like, I felt like, God, you're real. Wow. And not only that, but later up, I opened my eyes. And that only lasted maybe 30 minutes, 45 minutes. That warmth left. But I opened my eyes and there was like the snot running down. And I guess my heart was so warm. My stomach had been warm, now my heart was so warm. And just even a few minutes when I was standing in the back and I didn't even realize the state I was in. What I mean is, during those few seconds after that, I felt such a clarity. After I came out of it and felt such a clarity, I felt such a peace and a joy, and I felt so lighter. See, I didn't even know that there was this stuff on me. But God did. Can you imagine when we go to heaven, when we connect with Jesus, when we are able to, again, in all these messages, I feel like the last few months, every time I come up here, and sometimes I've done a terrible job of it, but I feel like God's trying to, for me to cast some, like, share a little bit about this vision about what heaven's supposed to be like. See, it's going to be indescribably joyful and all that. It's going to be like that 30 seconds when I was up here. It's going to be that times infinity. So when the Revelation, it says, the elders were bowing before God, whole and singing, chanting, holy, 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 holy. And we literally think that would be so boring, but it won't, because I'm telling you, it will be like we're going to be in his presence like that and feeling his love and his beauty, and we're going to be able to gaze upon his beauty for infinity. And we are going to be finally back to that relationship that we were created for at the very beginning in Genesis 1. And this is going to be amazing. This is going to be like crazy. We can't even you cannot describe it. This is the treasure in heaven, that what is waiting for us. And this is actually partially available for us on earth right now, because as Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is near. And we just need to reach out to him, but we need to be hungry. You know, one thing that really impressed me about this gentleman as he was leading the group, like, I would have checked out hours before. Like, but he kept on saying, you're not hungry enough. Where is the hunger? Where is the hunger? So as he was trying to say, Holy Spirit wants to come, but there needs to be hunger. So this was me only seeing it through the video streaming, unfortunately. But I would have thought, I think people are hungry enough now, 30 minutes ago. What are you talking about? But he kept on saying, he was sensing something, I guess, spiritually. There's not enough hunger. Holy Spirit wants to come, but there's not enough hunger. Continue to worship him. Continue to reach out. Can I be really honest? I think a lot of times at SP, we go through our three songs and we're done. Or like, we go through our whatever and we're done. And we're like, that was enough. Sometimes I wonder, after the altar call, and of course we have the next service that needs to come in, and God knows that, but I just want to say, is there something? Like, I really would have checked out an hour before. I literally did. I went home. But he kept on saying, this gentleman, he kept on saying, this is not enough hunger. There needs to be more hunger. And then as he kept on, kind of, as the people kept on responding, I guess there was a bit enough of hunger where Holy Spirit could actually come and dwell with. And then that stuff happened. And again, so I want to be really clear. You don't, the signs are not what we chase, although the signs might be a manifestation of the presence of the Holy Spirit, right? Just like, as P. Sam always says, you put something in a socket, and if something happens, you know, you put, let's say, two chopsticks, steel chopsticks in a electrical socket, the sparks aren't, like, but the sparks are a sign that electricity is flowing. It doesn't necessarily mean that's the electricity, right? The sparks that come. Does this make sense? Anyway, okay. So, so friends, I mean, honestly, I want to, yeah, are we hungry? Are we humble enough? Or are we going to be like the Pharisees and the chief priests, who didn't even think it worth their while to follow the people who had traveled for weeks and probably months over mountain passes and deserts? They didn't think it worth their while to make the two-day journey to Bethlehem with them. Who are we going to be like? Actually, I had a bunch of stuff I was just jotting down, but maybe just share this part. The reason we had read all the way from Matthew 1 to Matthew 2 was this part also was there. You know, the other part that I didn't really get, I kind of got, but I didn't really get, was Joseph and Mary. I mean, I knew, right? I knew, wow, they were so faithful. I mean, Mary, I mean, she was a virgin, and but still said, okay, yeah, I'm okay. But I think somehow, as I was reading this a few weeks ago, and it's re-impressing on me again, was they actually really had to suffer through a lot. Like, I mean, I don't think we understand, but back then, the cultural context was, and actually, I mean Joseph too, not only Mary, okay? So, you know, the cultural context at the time was, if you were, like, pregnant before marriage, that means you committed sexual sin. Like, literally under the law, they would take you and stone you, right? I mean, guys, why do you think that Mary, after a few months when she probably started showing, why do you think she went to out of her town and went to stay with her her cousin Elizabeth? Like, you know, she did that, right? She after a few months, probably when she started showing, she actually, but the Gospels say she left and she went to stay with her her cousin. You know why? Because probably if her townspeople found out, it might not have been really good for her. So she had to hide until that happened. Not only that, think about Joseph, okay? Like, see, he was such a good man that he didn't actually want to put her through, like, potentially stoning, because he had the right to do that. Oh, you were supposed to be pledged to me, and you did this? I'm going to publicly disgrace you now and your whole family. But instead, he wanted to do it quietly. He said, look, I understand. You're a young girl. I don't know what happened. Maybe you got seduced by some farmhand. I have no idea. But, yeah, let's just make this quiet. It's okay. I don't want you to get killed or something. So he was going to do that. And then angel of the Lord comes, tells Joseph, no, that's from God. And he says, okay. But can you imagine afterwards everything that happened? So he comes back. They have a kid. It's like, oh, wait, this is a little bit early, isn't it? What happened? Oh, I see. You slept with her before your marriage. Think about it. Everybody knows when Jesus was born, right, roughly? So you don't, like, his wedding date was X. He obviously didn't get married, like, before. So the baby was early. So then Joseph had to take the shame on himself. He then became part of the target of the finger pointing. Before, it would have just been Mary. And he could have quietly just put it to bed and whatever. But instead, it was also, you know what I mean, right? So he also would have been, can you imagine all the neighbors? Like, yeah, oh yeah, remember, that's Jesus. That was that boy that was a little bit, you know, it's a fruit of sin. I'm not kidding, right? I mean, okay, this is not exactly laid out in the gospel, but I'm trying to tell you, Joseph, I'm just kind of taking the context and thinking it through. Joseph took that shame on himself as well. There probably might have been some finger pointing. Oh, you slept with your, okay, young man, you couldn't control yourself, you couldn't keep it in the pants, huh? Okay, fine. You know, he would have been subject to that. It's so amazing, though, that, I mean, God, you couldn't have figured out an easier way to bring about Jesus? Like, I mean, you couldn't have found, like, another old couple? Like, you know, like Elizabeth and Zechariah, right? You couldn't have figured them, like old people who couldn't have a baby, and God, you blessed them. My God, yes, it must have been God. They had a baby when they were so old. Wow, this is how John the Baptist was born, right? God, you couldn't have thought of it that way. You could have done it that way. You had to go and make it so difficult for them? I don't know. I don't know the answer, but that was very interesting to me. There was something, even the thing about Jesus having come to birth took the faith of these people. They had to go through some sacrifice, difficulty. And somehow God, in his infinite wisdom, saw fit to make the story play out that way. So, I want you to say, if there is something difficult that you are going through, maybe as you're trying to be faithful to God, there's something difficult. Maybe, I don't know. But you know what? Remain faithful to God. Joseph and Mary did. Joseph and Mary did. And think of the fruit of their sacrifice. Yes? So I'm going to end it there because it's long. So sorry, I didn't. But praise God. Lord, let's just maybe, Sandeep, we could turn it on quiet for now. But I wanted to give us a response time. So, Holy Spirit, we ask you to come and search our hearts. Search our hearts, Lord. You know, we may think, actually, no, first of all, would you come and bring a revelation of your deep, deep, deep love for us? Lord, the treasures in heaven aren't, you know, like, if you are calling us to do something, you know, even this week, I felt like God was saying, do something, give something somewhere. And initially, honestly, it was some amount that was not small, and my initial reaction was, oh, shoot. My reaction was, oh, really? I mean, God, you have, really? Me? Can't you have some? I mean, and then And then I repented. Then I repented and I share. And God bless my wife, right? Whenever I go to my wife with these things, her response is, really? Are you kidding? Actually, her response was, yeah, sure. You know, let's pray. You know, as you pray, if you felt led, sure, I'm behind you. I support you 100%. I have such a wonderful wife, seriously. But so I had to actually repent and I had to say, Lord, will you help get my perspective correct? All the stuff is yours anyway. Actually, all the stuff is just caca. Wow. You know, if there is, I mean, if you really are leading me to do this, to give to this thing, whatever, then it's an opportunity to partner with you for eternal things. Wow. Thank you, God, that you would trust me to do that. So, and then I was able to, as I was talking through with my wife and I was repenting, and as I prayed, I was, you know, I decided, God, yeah, if you make it very clear, I'm all for it. And so I repented. And in my heart, there was joy. But I needed to go through that too. So I'm just being honest with you, right? I'm not no super like I'm perfect anything. No way. But I just want you to remember what everything I shared about the eternity with Jesus. Wow. And I want to make it very clear. Whether you give, don't give, whether you serve, whether you don't serve, whatever you do, that doesn't get you into heaven or not. It's a free gift. But being able to commune with Him, being able to connect with Him, being able to receive His love and the revelation of His love and walk with Him like that every day, that is the benefit. That is not some, like the enemy has so messed us up with the religiosity thing. Look, communing with God is the incredible benefit we have as Christians. It is not the burden that we have as Christians. There is this messed up thinking. Me too. Like sometimes I think, oh, I didn't do my quiet time today. What in the world? So people think if I didn't do my quiet time, I'm somehow of a less Christian. Totally wrong thinking. It is the incredible benefit of a Christian that we can connect anytime, whether you're sitting in the subway or your own quiet place. You can say, dear Father God, will you come now, Holy Spirit, and fill me up? That is an incredible benefit and privilege that we have as Christians. It is not, let's say, I didn't do my 5 minutes quiet time. Oh, God's unhappy with me. Totally wrong, messed up religious, spirit of religion thinking. So Lord, we just ask that you would come and would you free us of that wrong thinking, Lord, in Jesus' name. Yes, Lord, set us free from these wrong thought patterns, wrong understanding, Lord. Lord, it is such an incredible privilege to be able to be in your presence. And when we get touched by your love and your presence, my goodness, tears of joy will flow. And on this side of heaven too, we don't have to wait for the next side. So number one, if there's something God is doing in your heart right now, if there's something wrong thinking that you have, then also all you have to do is this. Just say, Lord, I repent for that wrong thinking. Will you renew my mind with your truth? And then just come. Ask Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. But don't get distracted right now. Don't. If you are listening to this while doing something else maybe, but just you need to just focus on God when you focus on God. When you're on a date with someone, if you're with your wife, if you were like on your phone, then your wife would be very unhappy. It's not really giving your wife your full attention, right? So do that. Yeah. And the hunger. And number three, see if there's any wrong preconceptions you have about how God should show up or not show up. You know, like me. If there's anything, just seek God. So I want to give us some time. I asked Sandeep to play a song very quietly. So Holy Spirit, we ask, would you come and just bless us during this time right now, this response time. Do something in our hearts as you did something in me and as you need to continue to do in me because I got a lot of issues. So Lord, we just ask that you would come. We thank you. Just come. Yeah, thank you guys. Sorry, I went. Sorry, it was a bit longer than I thought, but I do really want us to pray. So if you have to go, please, no problem. But I'd like to pray for our prayer topics. But hey, if God's doing something in you, and I definitely think the Holy Spirit wants to do something, you can hit pause, continue in your worship, continue in your time with Him. But you know, for the rest of us, we're going to continue with the prayer time. But I really feel like if you're listening to this, and God did something, is stirring something during the worship or something, then, you know, I just humbly encourage you, don't move on. Stay in this place. Continue to worship Him. You know, just because, yeah, God wants to touch you. So, Lord, we thank you, God, for that. And anyway, hit pause. And for the rest of us, we're going to continue with the prayer today. So let's lift up our friends, our community members who are going through cancer, and who are also dealing with chemo and radiation therapy as well. So let's pray. Let's rebuke cancer. We command cancer to leave these bodies. And let's pray for strengthening of the healthy cells. And we pray for, let's pray for them and their families. And let's pray for their bodies. Let's lift up our community members who are dealing with illness but also need salvation. So let's lift them up as well. Let's pray for friends in our community, Lord, who are dealing with infirmities. Let's rebuke that illness, and let's pray for full healing to come. Pray for members in our community who are looking for jobs. Let's pray for doors to open, the wrong doors to close, and also during this time that they would not be wasted, but that they would seek God and that they would receive a vision for their life. Pray for our Saturday prayer topics. Number one is the mission focus. North Korea, open doors for ministry. missional opportunities and partnerships in Asia, and let's lift up the persecuted churches in the Middle East especially. Pray for our SP weekend gatherings, Alpha, EG Retreat, GIC, Women's Discipleship, Prison Outreach, Drug Rehab Outreach, Sunday Services, Noah's Ark, Worship, Hospitality, SP Youth, Yahweh, SP and Services and Activities and All Meetings. Let's cover all of these ministries. Lift up the house churches that are meeting today. Fortress, House to House, Malwan, South Side, and West Side. Let's pray for the leaders and the meetings. Let's pray for our upcoming events, the parenting seminar and the SP annual retreat. Thank you, guys. So please continue to enjoy the time. And thank you, and God bless. In Jesus' name, amen.